verses 7 through 11, out of respect for God's word. He's right. Is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayer. Above all, keep loving one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is a reading from God's word. Please be seated. So I had a fascinating experience last weekend. One of my best friends, his father died. And so I went to the funeral. It was a week ago Saturday. His father was also the principal of the school I went to. I went to a Lutheran school in Phoenix. So I was there to not only say hi to my friend, but to honor this principal who served at the school for 34 years. It was really a wonderful thing. The weird thing was, it was like a homecoming, because all the people that I had known 30, 40 years ago, there were quite a few of them that were there. As a matter of fact, I sat next to my youth director, and she was also the director of a group. It was called the Good Life Singers. And so I sat next to her, and I was in her choir probably 40 years ago. It was a long time ago that I was in her choir, which is very interesting. And it reminded me of a story that happened when I was in her choir, and I thought I'd share that story with you this morning. The group was called the Good Life Singers. We had a bunch of us, and we sang in church and did a lot of fun things. But somewhere along the line, we had this brilliant idea that what we should do is go to California and go to Disneyland. But when you go to Disneyland, it's very expensive. And so we decided what we'd do is we would learn a musical, and we would go and perform the musical at this church. We'd spend the night at the church, and the next day we'd go to Disneyland, right? So it was a great plan. It was an awesome plan. So the musical was called He Lived the Good Life, and we practiced it. We actually performed it at our home congregation. It was wonderful. And we drove the bus. We went to California, and, you know, we're singing the songs on the bus, and life is good. And we had this, it was a thing called a cassette tape. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but you put it in, you press play, and it's a soundtrack, but we had some special instruments, and it was really quite a wonderful thing. And we get to our destination, and we set up, and I mean, we brought everything. We brought sets and everything like that. It was a wonderful thing. We got to the performance that night, 7 o'clock. There were 3 people in the audience. The pastor, his wife, and the uncle of one of the people in the choir. Well, what do you do at that point, right? I mean, do you go on? Do you not go on? I mean, we spent a lot of time preparing on this thing. And I remember this lady that I'm sitting next to, the choir director, musical director, youth director. She said, the show must go on. And so we did. We started the show, and it would have been wonderful. I mean, it really would have knocked the socks off of those 3 people. But somebody in the back, one of the basses, and I don't know which one, started laughing. And started laughing uncontrollably. And then the rest of them started uncontrollably laughter. Now, I had been on stage before. I knew that you don't laugh during a performance. So I sat there singing my heart out, trying not to laugh. But I think at that point, I was the only one singing. And it was a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. What do you do when you're a conductor and you're directing this big, huge musical? There's 3 people and we're all laughing. She stopped and she yelled at us. And we started over again. So we rewound the tape. And we started over again. We sang the whole thing and we did not laugh once more time through the whole thing. And we put everything away. And the next time we went to Disneyland the next day, it was really, really quite challenging experience, I will tell you that. Have you ever had something like this happen to you? Have you ever had like all these great plans? I'm going to do this big thing and it's going to be wonderful and we're going to do this and this and this and it's going to be awesome, and you get to it and it just falls apart. either the people don't show up, or the plan doesn't go off as challenged, or maybe, you know, you're showing fireworks on the 4th of July and it's big crowd and all of a sudden it rains, you know, the day of the 4th of July and all the fireworks are canceled. Which hasn't happened yet, but I'm waiting for it to happen at some point. Has this ever happened to you? Well, we're going to be opening our building soon. And when we do, it is my prayer that things go smoothly, that our plans go well. But we know that life doesn't always go as we planned. When things don't go as planned, sometimes we go over the edge. Whether it's in church, or whether it's in school, or it's at work, or maybe it's in your family, anything that we do that doesn't go as planned, sometimes it pushes us over the edge. And many, many, many times, what do? We grumble, we get upset, we get angry. So today we're finishing our sermon series on going the extra mile. I just want to back up a little bit. A few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and we talked about how going the extra mile means that we serve with humility. And then we talked about Paul, who was shown incredibly good hospitality when he was on the barbarians of the island of Malta. And then last week, we talked about how in everything we should see the face of Jesus, and that'll help us as we serve. But today's going to hit home, at least for me, because I think this is the most important thing of all, that when we serve, we just do it without grumbling. When we serve, we just do it without grumbling. When we open the building, I can almost guarantee you that there will be something that's going to happen that's not going to go as planned, and it might be something, a glaring omission. Some of you are going to come up to me afterwards and say, "How did you miss that?" And I'll say, "I don't know how I missed that." And then I'm going to go and I'm going to grumble and I'm going to be upset. And you're going to grumble and you're going to be upset. But life goes on and Jesus is still on the throne. I want you to listen to Peter, 1 Peter 4:7. "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." And then this is probably the most important scripture for me on this topic. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality without grumbling. And what causes us to grumble? Why do we get so upset about things? Why do we grumble? Well, I can actually think of about three reasons why we grumble. And the first is this. We grumble because the work that we're doing doesn't seem to connect with the mission that we're doing. You see that? The work that we're doing doesn't seem to be connected to the mission that we're doing. Last week, we talked about serving Jesus. And, you know, if you know that you're serving Jesus, if you can see the face of Jesus in everything that you do, then somehow you make that connection that I'm serving Jesus in this. You could do something as mundane as cleaning toilets. And if you think you're cleaning toilets for Jesus, it's okay. You're not going to grumble. But many times the work we do, either in school or in our work or in the church or things like that, it seems like work that doesn't seem to be connected to the mission. You know, Luther was big on this. At the time of Luther, people were just doing all sorts of things, and Luther refocused the world, and he said, "Listen, everything you do is in service to God. Your work is in service to God. Your family is in service to God. Your church is in service to God. Everything that you do is your vocation, and it's in service to God. That's what you're doing." And he connected it. But doesn't it seem like a lot of the things that we do just don't seem connected? I mean, if you're in school today, you're supposed to be learning, right? But doesn't it seem like sometimes the teacher just gives you, what do we call it? Busy work. And it's just work that we do, and it doesn't seem to connect with anything. I've never been in the military, but I've heard stories of guys, it's like the sergeant says or the colonel says, "Go dig a hole." And so you go and dig a hole, and he says, "Okay, now fill it up again." And it's like, why are we doing this? Now, that's probably an exaggeration, but you all know what I'm talking about. There are times where it seems like what we're doing doesn't connect to the mission. There's a movie that came out several years ago with Tom Hanks in it called Forrest Gump. Do you remember this movie? Yeah, Forrest Gump. And he's just one of these guys that just seems to bumble through life. and doesn't seem to have any mission or any goal, and yet it seems like life blesses him immensely. And what's so comical about the movie is he just doesn't seem to really know what the heck is going on, and yet all these things are wonderful happening. You know, he becomes famous and rich and all these sort of things. And part of the movie is this. His mother dies, and his girlfriend breaks up with him, and he's kind of at a low point in his life, and he says, this is a quote from the movie. He said, "From that day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run." And so he does. He gets and he starts running, and he continues running. He actually runs for 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours, and he crosses the United States twice. And as he's running, right, he looks like he's a man on a mission, and all of a sudden, people notice. And so the news crew comes, and the filming crew comes, and all of a sudden, people join him on this mission. They're running, and they're joining him. It's like, yeah, we're running, we're doing something. And he's going back and forth across the United States twice for 3 years. And then you get to the end, he's like, okay, I'm done. And he just turns around, he walks away. All these people are like, what are we doing here? What was the purpose of all this? What was the mission? Because there wasn't one. How many times does it seem like the things we do just doesn't have a clear connection to the mission that we're trying to accomplish? And we can be like those people running with Forrest Gump. We just grumble. Why are we doing this? I don't understand why we're doing this. It just doesn't make sense. So the first reason I think we grumble is because we just can't connect the work we're doing with the mission. The second is this, and this happens a lot of times, particularly in the workplace, but other places, that there's very little forethought or planning involved in the work we're doing. There's very little forethought or planning involved to the mission of the work we're doing. I'll never forget, a number of years ago, I was working at the Arizona Department of Transportation, and one of the guys had a sign behind his desk that said this. He said, "A lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. A lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part." And I'm sure you've all seen that. It's like nobody plans. Nobody figures it out. And, you know, there are a lot of people in this world, they don't need a plan. They're actually fine without a plan. They're kind of, you know, self-starters. They can get some work done. Hopefully it's in the right direction. But there are a lot of people that if you're going to get them to work, they at least need something to tell you what's going on. They need a plan. They need to know what resources we're going to use, when we're going to be finished, and all that sort of thing. And Jesus even talked about this in Luke 14. He says, "Suppose of you one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see that you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.'" We need a plan. We need to use our resources appropriately. In our reading from 1 Peter 4, Peter says, "Each of us has a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." How are we going to use our gifts if we don't know what the plan is? And Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 4:11. He says, "Some of you are called to be apostles, some of you are prophets, some of you are evangelists, some of you are shepherds, some of you are teachers." Some of us have different gifts. How are we going to know how to use our gifts if we don't know what the plan is? The resources of God are too precious to waste. And it is incumbent upon leaders, to the extent possible, to plan those resources for the most effective use in the kingdom. And when this is not done, what do? We grumble. Absolutely. And then the third thing is this. Things don't go as planned, even if they're planned well. Things don't always go as they're planned. How many times in your life did you have a great plan? You spent hours and hours and days and months planning it. You got all the resources together. You told people what was going to happen and you did it. And then all of a sudden you get there to this church in California the night before Disneyland and nobody shows up. And it's a flop. Or at least maybe the plan didn't meet your expectation. You know, we live in a broken world. And not everything that we do is going to go as planned. Even with the best laid plans, things aren't going to go as well. I read a book last year It's a fascinating book by Todd Bolsinger, and it's called, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called Canoeing the Mountains. Have you heard about this book, Canoeing the Mountains? It's a story of Lewis and Clark, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark. These two people were commissioned by Thomas Jefferson in 1804 to find a passage from St. Louis to the Pacific Ocean, all right? And he said, what you're going to do is you're going to take the Missouri River and you're going to follow that as far as you can, go up to the top of the mountain, and then you're going to cross the mountain and you're going to find another stream and you're going to follow that stream all the way down until you get to the Pacific Ocean. Now remember, this was uncharted territory. They didn't know what to expect. The only idea that they knew about a mountain was the Appalachian Mountains. And I don't know if you've been to the Appalachian Mountains. They're very mild. They're very beautiful, wonderful. There's the Appalachian Trail. So they started on this journey with their canoes, and they started going so they could find this route from St. Louis to the West Coast into the Pacific. And all of a sudden, they come up over the ridge, and what do they see? The Rocky Mountains. And they go up over the next ridge, and what do they see? The Rocky Mountains and the Rocky Mountains. They had no idea getting into this what they were going to see. They were planning to take a canoe trip to get to the East Coast or the West Coast, and ended up canoes were completely useless and meaningless to them. The canoe actually stopped them down. They had to get rid of the canoes. They had to look at the new challenge before them, and they had to say, what are the new resources that we're going to have to do to pick up? What are the things that we're going to have to learn? Who are the people we're going to have to connect with to get us over there? Because this is something that's completely unexpected. And as a side note, the whole purpose of this book from Bolsinger, he does lectures to church leaders all throughout the United States, is he says, the number one question that I get is, why didn't seminary prepare me for the challenges that we have in this world today? Because it seems like the seminary was giving us canoes and paddles, and what we're facing is the Rocky Mountains. And so he wrote a book about it. It's a fascinating book. If you want to read a book about leadership and find out how Meriwether Lewis and William Clark said, you know, we know what the mission is. We know what we got to do. We're going to get there. We're going to throw away all the things we've learned, and we're going to learn new things, and we're going to get there. And they did. They got to the West Coast. They did. They completed the mission. Had a lot of help along the way. They had to put everything away and relearn everything. But they eventually made it, but they didn't do it by a canoe. They did it in other ways. And the point of the book is that life doesn't always happen. Even the most important plans of our life, no matter how far we plan, things don't go the way that we expect them to go. And we live in a world where they don't go the way we expected to go because either we planned in a world that doesn't exist, or just sometimes things happen and it doesn't work. And all of these things happen. What does it happen? They cause us to grumble. And how can we prevent grumbling? I mean, if these things are going to happen in our life, how do we stop grumbling? Well, Peter talks about it a little bit. In verse 7, he says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. For the sake of your prayers. One of the ways you can stop grumbling is just to increase your prayer life. Have that relationship with God. Know that God loves you. Know that God, even though things are falling apart all around you, that God still loves you. You're still a child of God, that you have that relationship. And the more that you pray and the more you build that relationship, the more He will help you in the times when things don't go as well as they should. Start your day with prayer. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide in the direction of daily tasks. And as you're doing those tasks, as they allow, know that you're in a relationship with God, and always see the tasks before you as loving God. And then verse 8, Peter says this, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Or you might say, love covers a multitude of things that don't go well as you planned them. Just love. Know that God loves you. And know that He wants you to love everyone else. And then don't forget this, 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever serves, serve as by the strength of God, in order that everything that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In other words, as you're serving, Rely on God's strength, that He will supply everything you need, and that the work you're doing will be glorified because of Christ Jesus. How many times have we been through something that didn't go as we planned, and yet God still did an amazing thing through it? Has that ever happened to you? It's like, I planned this, and it didn't go as I wanted it. It didn't go as I planned. But you know what? God was still sovereign, and He still did amazing things through that. Years ago, and this is a true story. Well, they're all true stories. We had a phone call. I had a phone call from a friend of mine. He's a musician. He said, I want to come to your church, and I want to do a concert on a Friday night. I said, Friday night's a really bad night for our church. I said, I'm not sure anybody will show up. He goes, oh, I've got a whole mailing list of people in the Tucson area. I'm going to mail them. You know, you advertise, we'll advertise all the churches, and it'll be a great event. I said, okay. So we planned the event, and it was a Friday night. It was in our new ministry center. We had just opened it up, and 7 o'clock came for the concert, and there were 3 people. And I had visions of my trip to California 40 years ago. But Dave, the guy that was giving the concert, he said, you know what? We're not going to do a concert, but we are going to talk about God. So we just sat in a small group, and we shared our stories about God. It was one of the most amazingly spiritual evenings that I'd had. It was really, really cool. Now, it wasn't at all what we planned, at all. And I must admit, the plans we had probably were not good plans to begin with, but we didn't execute them very well either. But God doesn't care. He can take our messed up plans and work them for His good, because He loves us. Now, should we connect to the mission? Should we make a plan and pray for an excellent program? Absolutely. Will everything go well? Not every time. But God's grace works in spite of our weaknesses. And He can take even our mislaid plans and plans that go wrong and use them greatly to work for His kingdom. Because God has never had perfect people to work with. He works through us. And we're flawed human beings. We will soon be in our new building. Within a few months, we will leave this cafeteria and we will move into our new space, and there will be things that will go wrong. I guarantee it. And you might, in a moment of weakness, you might even catch me grumbling. I know it's hard to believe. And when that happens, I need you to come up to me and I need you to say, Pastor, remember that sermon that you preached about grumbling? Remind me that God is in control. Remind me that His grace is sufficient. Remind me that things don't always go the way they should. Remind me that Jesus loves me all the time in spite of my own weakness and failures. And remind me that He became flesh and lived in a grumbling world to save me from grumbling. He's in charge. It's His work. It's His mission. We're not going to do it perfectly. But He is doing it perfectly in spite of us. And that's a good thing. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, we are human, and so we grumble. We grumble at big things, and we grumble at little things. We do it inwardly in our thoughts, and we do it outwardly to others. But gracious Jesus, forgive us for those times. Grant us Your Spirit to do Your work as best as we can. And most of all, take the work that we do and use it for Your kingdom. We pray this to You, O Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a great day.